Thank you for tuning in to the World Overcomers podcast. On behalf of our senior pastor, Andy Thompson, we appreciate your continued support and generosity. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast to receive updates when we post new content every week. To learn more about World Overcomers or Pastor Andy, please visit worldovercomers.church. Enjoy the message.
Let's look at the Word of God together. How many have a Bible or an iPad or device? Throw something above your head. Wave something at me really quickly. All right, turn with me in your Bibles. Let's look at just two passages of Scripture. The first one is 1 Peter chapter number 2, and just two verses, verses 9 and 10. And I'm going to read it out the New King James Version, and we're going to throw it on the screens for you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And then the second Scripture is Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Will you just stand with me on your feet for just a moment? It's become our custom to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you. And give me 30, 40 minutes on the clock. Give me 40 minutes. Give me 30 minutes on the clock, and I'm going to share a word with you. We've done so much. We've praised. We've worshiped. I shared a word already in the communion, and I shared a word in the offering. So I've shared quite a bit. So let's look at the Word of God together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. If you're in the room, you can look on the screens. If you're not prepared, if you're watching around the world, you can look on your screen if you're not ready. Let's do it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, his own special people, that you would show forth the praises of him, that you would proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy." And Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. This time reading out of the NIV. And again, you can look on the screens or read along with us if you're not prepared. The writer Matthew, Jesus is talking. And Jesus says, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow gate. Try as hard as you can to get into the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And there's a whole lot of folk on that road. But straight is the gate, small is the gate, and narrow is the road. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. And only a few find it." The title of my message this morning is, "When We to Win." When we to win. Bow your head, let me pray. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak, Lord, just now. Some wonderful truth you'd have for us to see. Thank you for gathering us together. Thank you for the Sunday after Easter. Thank you for all these folks who have gathered together. Thank you that we are determined to walk by faith and not by sight. So now, God, remove from us our stony hearts. Give us this heart of flesh. Speak to us. And we'll praise you for what you do, for hearing you in our inside selves. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you for the guidance that we receive from your voice. And we'll praise you for the direction you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. We all said together, amen. We all said together, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. When we to win. If I can draw your attention to Matthew 7:14, that says, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." This passage of Scripture has special meaning to me. It's one of the first passages that I memorized as a child. As a matter of fact, I grew up in a home where the memorization of Scripture was something that we were consistently taught to do. Taught to memorize Scripture, taught to know the Bible, taught to know the Romans road map. Somebody got taught to know which Scriptures were which. And in my parents' house, the more Scripture you knew, the better. As a matter of fact, you could get double dessert for quoting a Scripture. Sometimes we would come to dessert time and my dad would say, "Double dessert, Scripture." And so now you're going to quote a Scripture, and you got to quote it chapter and verse, and you got to quote the right verse, and you got to quote it right. And if you quote it right, you get double dessert. Now, you couldn't quote a Scripture that somebody else already quoted. You had to quote a fresh scripture, couldn't quote somebody else's. And so who got to go first? Now, there's a lot of children in the house. I'm the oldest of the eight. At this point, not eight of us. There's maybe five or six of us. And so now, but who all can actually quote a scripture? Only maybe the top four or five of us can actually quote a scripture. And so now who gonna get to go first? And I had a brother who really only knew one scripture. I won't say his name for his protection of his innocence, but he really only knew one scripture. And so as soon as my dad said, double dessert, scripture, he would throw his hands up, me, because he wanted to go first to quote the one verse he knew so that he could get double dessert. And the one verse he knew was this passage, Matthew 7:14. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He'd say it and get his double dessert. And so then we'd all have to quote our other scriptures. But there was this one particular time. I don't know if you ever had younger brothers or sisters, but he got on my nerves almost every day. And so there's one particular time when my dad said, double dessert scripture. And he moved me. I raised my hand and I said, no, he always goes first. I want to go first this time. Let me go first. And my dad, who was very, you know, he's a holy man of God. He's bishop. He said, oh, that's true. That is true. You do always go first, son. And so your brother is, we need to let him go first sometime. Yes. And so now I'm about to go first. And he's sitting there looking at me, just scared, just terrified that I'm going to say his one scripture. Just, and I'm like, let's see, what passage shall I quote today? There's so many wonderful passages in the Word of God. And I don't know. There's some wonderful things that Paul said. And you know, James had some keen insight into the mind of Christ. And there's scriptures in Luke and John. You know, John the Revelator. And I said, but I think the scripture that I'm going to quote this evening will be Matthew 7:14. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Straight is the gate, narrow's the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It is a very interesting thought, particularly for humans, because humans need community. We're a communal species. It's one of the challenges that we're dealing with today. It's why, thank you for coming to church, but thank yourself for coming to church, because we need each other. And the individualization of us as humans is dangerous to us. I'm glad that we're streaming this to you, but you can't just worship God by yourself. It's hard to do salvation alone. It's hard to do life alone, because there is something that we can do. We have power that me does not. We have power that me does not. I know that we are in the time of the empowerment of the individual and the empowerment of the self. Got it. No doubt about it. All with it. But don't miss out that one of the ways to be empowered in the me is to be empowered in a we. Now, as much as we get that, this is a part of the irony of life and even the scriptures, how it just balances it out on both sides. Because we power is great. However, we must be warned, because we power is dangerous. It is possible for the we to be so strong and for us to be so communal and be so want to fit in and be so don't want to stand out and be so want to look like everybody else, that in our we-ness, we can find ourselves on a path to destruction. Because Jesus is saying, now listen, I want you to make every effort that you can to get into the gates that are narrow. Do everything you can to get into the gates that end up shifting and end up purifying and end up finding out who can walk there, because one of the challenges of the world is broad is the way, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and there's a whole lot of folk on it. And it's possible for you to be doing what everybody else is doing and actually be on a path to death and not on a road to life. It's also possible for the loneliness of individualization, the loneliness that goes with the individualization of our technology, the loneliness that comes with the breakdown of our community structures and the family. It can make you so that you are so bereft of community and you are so thirsty for acceptance that you would rather be in company on the path to death than to be lonely on a path to life. Misery loves company, is what they used to say. Destruction loves company. It's absolutely possible for you to be in a situation where to break away towards life, you gotta leave the many and go to the few. Especially today, I'm sorry, especially today where there's so much pressure to just be in a group. Who are you voting for? Well, I'm a Republican, so I'm going to vote for the Republican, whether he's crazy or not, it doesn't matter, because instead of me being allowed to be a thinking individual, I'm in the group. Who are you voting for? Well, I'm a Democrat. And so whether or not it's really him or whether he's alt, whether he's tight, is he asleep right now? It doesn't matter. I'm not allowed to think. I'm not allowed to ask a question. I'm not allowed to look at the individual situation. I'm in this group. We have been lumped together to stop us from actually considering anything. So now even our media is... it's biased now. So you go to this and they're going to tell you it from just that view. Some of us are old enough to remember when the media was kind of on the outside. The news was on the outside. They were kind of the last barrier to really make sure you got truth. Now you're not sure if it's truth because you have to check the source. And it's because they're playing on our desire to be communal and get us on a road to death, whether on a road to life. We're so impassioned and so determined to fight for causes, even if there's death at the end of it. And to break free, it's just hard. It's just tough. And it's causing me to ask this question, and it's part of the theme of the year, and that is, well, where do you belong? Who do you belong to? And is your belonging working for you? We almost live in a world in which our belonging can't be questioned. We get an attitude with anybody who might question our belonging. But this is my group and this is who I'm with and I'm down with them. Got you. But my question is, but how's it working for you? And there's a difference between we-ing just a we and we-ing to win. We-ing to be successful. We-ing to get ahead. If there's a power in the we that I don't have in the me, then I have to ask myself, who am I we-ing with? And if I find myself losing enough, I might have to ask myself, is it me or is it we? Now, we want to be mad at LeBron for leaving Cleveland and going to Miami. But the question is, are you stuck with who you got? Or is it possible for you to we with somebody different than who you currently we with? Are you weeing with people just to we? Or are you weeing because you realize that faith has been slapped in your hand and this is a relay race and you've got to slap the baton of faith into the next generation? I think we for a lot of wrong reasons. We just because the people we with like us. I'd almost rather we with people that don't think I'm a man. Can I we? Well, are we gonna win? I don't want to be so sensitive around getting along that we're not successful. I said to my staff, I want you guys to like each other. I want you guys to get along. I don't expect you to be best friends. I expect us to be successful together. I'd like you, Johnny and Josh are really close. I want them to get along with Tyrus and Tony, and I want them to get along. I suppose they get along. I don't need them to be best friends for us to be effective in our winning. Some of us have been so robbed of love that we're so desperate for acceptance that we would rather be accepted on a losing team than to actually be on a team that's winning, and we're not quite sure if everybody don't have to like you. Everybody ain't gonna like you all the time. Everybody ain't gonna be your best friend. That's okay. How are we doing though? And so the question I'm proposing to you and to myself is, well, now, there's a difference in just we and we, and there's a difference in wing to win. And I want to examine just a little bit who you should we with. If I could just challenge you and me, who should you we with? Who should you do us with? Who should you us with? All right. When I look at 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 9, I see really characteristics of who you should us with. I see a particular number there, but I won't say what the number is. But if you've heard me speak before, you know it's probably 7. Because 7 is God's number of perfection. And I just can't help but see 7 characteristics that you should be looking for in the people that you we with. And the more intimate the we, the more serious you need to be about the characteristics of who you we with. Because we have a power that me does not. Peter says, but you are this. So the scripture takes the moment not just to tell you who God is, not just to tell you who Jesus is, not just to tell you the histories, but to speak to you and to tell you who you are. And not just who you are as an individual, but who are you as a group. He says, but you are a chosen generation. So the first quality or the first characteristic, I'm going to give you all 7 of them as quick as I can. I got 15 minutes. I'm going to give you all 7. The first quality or the first characteristic is the chosen. The chosen. You are the chosen. So when I think of, all right, who am I going to we with long term? Who am I going to we so that we can win? I'm moving past all the guilt of people trying to make me feel bad about this or that. Well, what about Boston? What about Oklahoma? What about this one? What about that one? You owe this, you owe that. Yeah, I got you. But can we win though? Can we win? Can we be successful? So I'm looking for these characteristics. The first one is the chosen. You are a chosen generation. And so I'd like to we with the chosen. When I say the chosen, I mean three things. If you keep notes, I'll throw it on the screens. First thing I mean is people you chose in your maturity. People you chose in your maturity. I know a lot of us, me too, were raised with a loyalty to people from the eighth grade. A loyalty to people from when you were four. Well, we go all the way back to diapers and bottles and rocks. Got you. No problem with that. I just don't know. Be careful how much you wee with people that you didn't choose when you were smart enough to choose. And there's a pressure from the world, society, our culture especially, to be down with who you came with. This is who I rock with, this is who I came with, this is who I rock with, this is who I stuck with. I got you, but what if who you rock with, who you came with, what if everybody in that group is losers? So I'm stuck with them. I have a talent. I have a gift. I have an ability. I can dunk a basketball. I can rap. I got to bring everybody with me. So I grew up in the hood around thugs, and I'm a baller. I got to bring all the thugs with me. I got to bring all their trouble. The question is, am I pulling them up or are they pulling me down? Was I smart? Did I choose them because they had a ping pong table, or did I choose them because they were actually worth being chosen? Did I choose them because I knew who I was, or did I choose them because I was so shook and so insecure and so not really positive about me that I chose them because they liked me and not necessarily because they were good for me? People you chose in your maturity. The second thing I mean is people others would choose. When I say the chosen, I mean people that others would choose. People that other folk would be like, oh my gosh, you got them. Oh my God, you got them. You got that person. You got that person. Okay. I'd rather be chose. I'd rather have somebody that I chose that other people like. Pastors come to me, folk come to me all the time. Oh, somebody offered me a job, somebody offered me this. And I'm like, yeah, that's awesome. What'd they say? Because you should be offered something. What? I should have folk around me that other people want to have around. You don't want to be with nobody that don't nobody else want. Number three, I mean people clearly chosen. Winners. Now, listen, I've got lifelong friendships. I got people I know from back in the day. I get around them. Hey, what's up? Back to high school, bro. Go through the neighborhood. Pam, bro, what's up? Yo, dude. Hey, man, how you doing? I'm good. That's all good. Nobody's saying to deny those people, but we with them? Do money with them? Do business with them? Share stuff with them? It is a mistake to just grab everybody from the hook. It's not... The question is, are they qualified? The question is, is there any favor on them at all? I have a blind spot. Maybe you have a blind spot. Be aware of what your blind spot is. It is possible to be loyal to losers. I'm just going to move on and leave it alone. But the Bible says you are a chosen generation. So if there's something special about you and unique about you and chosen about you and powerful about you and there's favor on your life, the last thing you want to do is couple that favor with somebody who got none. Because they're going to be jealous of yours and they're going to be mad about what you got and something's going on with you and I ain't got nothing going on and why don't you share some of that this way? Or they're just going to suck the life out of you and the next thing you know, you're going to have to carry everything. Believe me, you want a partner that's got power. You don't want to be the best person at your company. That's scary. You don't want to be the only smart person around. That's not wise. You want to we with people who clearly there's something on them. Number two, He said, you're a royal priesthood. So the second group that I like to agree with is royal priests. When I say royal priests, I mean clean enough to be classy, real enough to serve. Just because you're from the hood don't mean you gotta look like you're from the hood forever. Can you wash your face, please? Let me just be quiet for a second. Can you act like you're royalty? Are you a child of God or not? Then can you brush your teeth? Can you get clean? Can you not go outside with your bonnet on? Can you not wear your slippers to the airport? Can we be royal or not? What happened to us? We used to be dressed and clean. And when we marched for freedom, we was dressed and clean and right and proper. You had a job. You didn't look at your face. You have no class. I want you to be better than the average bear. I'm sorry. I want you to be higher than them. I want you to step away from the masses. I'm not trying to hang with you and you're a pauper and I'm trying to be a prince and a child of God. I'm not trying to be your best friend and you're embarrassing. Can you clean your car? My God, can you just vacuum the carpet? Your car is a reflection of your mind. Can you pick up your trash? Can you just be royal? Can you just be classy? Can you just be sharp? I'm so tired of dull people. My God, so tired of folk that don't have a standard for yourself that's higher and greater. Strive to be the best you can be. You should hold yourself to a standard. Look at yourself in the morning and be glad about what you see and put some effort into it. Don't ask me if you look good. You ought to know if you look good or not. What do you mean how this look? How it look to you? I'd like you to say amen on this stuff that I'm sharing to you, but I don't need you to do it. I know I have a word. I know that I've studied. The anointing comes from knowing that you're called and knowing that you have a word and knowing that you have prepared yourself and showed yourself to be approved, a workman not worthy to be ashamed. I know the word. I know this is a path. I know this is a word. I don't need you to say nothing to me. I'll preach to this room empty if I have to. I did. I want you to acknowledge it so that you can say amen, so that you can acknowledge, so let it be. Yes, Lord, let me get some classy friends. Let me get some people that leave a tip when we at the restaurant. Let me be with somebody who ain't gonna embarrass me and be mean to the help. What's with this? What's going on? I don't want to eat with you if you're gonna be ghetto. I'm from there, but I don't want to live there. I'm from there, but I don't want to go back. Oh, I'm from there. My daddy's first church is across the street from the projects. My best friends were the sons of the single mamas from the projects. I know what that's like, but praise God, I have been delivered. So I pronounce words right. I don't say axe, I say ask. I don't say scrunch, 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 scrunch. No, I say strength, not scrimps. Can you please class up? And when you class up and then you mop, it's a whole nother level altogether. When you class up and you serve, when you are clean enough to be royal and then humble enough to serve your people, that's the real sign of royalty. Because real royalty sees the as a privilege not to rule but to serve. Number three, holy nation. Now I know when we say holy, those of us raised holiness think holy. But understand the word holy means set apart. It means that you are dedicated. It means that you are purpose-driven about the kingdom, but purpose-driven about purpose. I can't we with anybody that doesn't answer to something greater than just their desires. You got to have something that's driving you. You got to have some kind of call. You got to have some kind of purpose. You got to have some kind of thing. You got to have some kind of passion that you are set apart to it. I have to be all right with the fact that in the middle of our time, you might say, hold on a second. I got a call. Hold on. If I can't be interrupted, if you can't be, if my time with you can't be interrupted by something greater than you, I don't want to be around you. You understand? We have to be careful that we don't make ourselves these little gods that everybody has to sacrifice everything just for us to feel special. Yeah, we out. I got it. We together. I get it. It's lunch. It's dinner. It's this. It's that. But I got a work call. I got a purpose call. I got a thing I got to answer. Is that all right with you? It's all right with you if you have it. It's not all right with you if you don't got nothing else. If all you have is me, then you're bothered if I have something that interrupts me. But if you have something that may interrupt you, then you have to be understanding when the thing interrupts me, because it's absolutely possible that your purpose may interrupt you. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. So what happens is we find ourselves unequally yoked with people that ain't got nothing but us. They ain't making no money, so they mad that you would dare to step away. Hold on for just a second. I got to think. I need to answer this call. This is my realtor. This is my manager. This is the person. Can you hold on for just a second? I'll be right back. Hey, hold on. Let me click over. I'm so glad to talk to you, but can you hold on for a second? If you get an attitude because I told you to hold on and click over, you're not going to. I'm not. I will put you in a compartment. I will compartmentalize you in a place of people that I just can't we with. You just don't get it. I am in the prime of my life. We can sit around and eat and do nothing when we 88, and even then I'm planning on getting a call, because I'm not planning on getting old and doing nothing. I realize there's something about purpose that keeps your brain firing. I need a way. There's something about purpose that keeps you young. There's something about purpose that keeps you going. Somebody said to me, what you doing? I said, age ain't nothing but a, tell somebody, age ain't nothing but a number. Oh, that was weak. Tell somebody, age ain't nothing but a number. Chances are, if you look like this at this age, you look good at 40, for you look good at 30. If you ain't gonna take care of yourself at 50, you don't take care of yourself when you're 20. Because it don't start then, it starts now. All right. Number four, a peculiar people. This passage says a people belonging to God, but I like the idea of different. Different. Who do I we with? I we with the people who ain't like everybody else. I we with the people that they're a little bit different. They don't see the world the way that everyone else sees it. As a matter of fact, their path may be different than the masses. They're not on the broad path. They're on the narrow path. They've made the effort to get on the narrow path, and as a result of it, I don't quite understand everything about them. You have to be secure in yourself to deal with people that you don't understand what they're talking about. And you may have to just be quiet and not talk and actually listen and learn something about their world that you don't understand, because you're not an expert in everything. But you'll find yourself in a very small box if you can only deal with the people that understand you and you understand everything about them. But if you are open to peculiar and different, that's who I want to we with people that don't necessarily always do everything like me. A peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him. So the fifth group is praisers. Now, I know when you think praisers, you think praisers, shouters, praisers. Yeah. Who can give God praise? But I also like to we with people who aren't so insecure that they need all the credit. People who can say, let's give it up for this one for the great job they did. Oh, my gosh. Oh, can we give it up for them? Oh, my goodness. Wasn't they awesome? Wasn't it? If you have to micromanage every little thing and be over every little piece of it because you have got to be in charge of all of it because you're insecure, can't you share some of the wealth? Can't you share some of the glory? Can you share some of the praise? If there be any praise, let it go to Calvary. But also, can you also say, no, but they're doing a really great job. People don't want to work with you if you can only deal with people who bow down to you all the time. Who I we with? I we with people who are humble enough, smart enough, strong enough, and knowledgeable enough to stand firm in themselves and still give credit where credit is due and give honor where honor is due. Number six, he says, a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who calls you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So the sixth group is what I'm calling the enlightened. The enlightened. People who can actually move from darkness to light. There are some people stuck in darkness. Now, when we say darkness, we just think sin, but I'm talking not just about sin. I'm talking about ignorance. I don't like being around people who, if I suggest something new, they get defensive about what they currently have right now. I like folk who can say, wow, what is that? Tell me about that. Oh my goodness, it's new vitamins? What are you taking? There's a new study? What is that? Don't leave me in the dark. There's chlorine in my water. Let me figure out what I'm going to do so that I can be called from darkness into marvelous light. I'm ready to be enlightened about the kingdom. I'm also ready to be enlightened about money. I'm also ready to be enlightened about health. I'm also ready to be enlightened about business. I'm going to learn new stuff. I can actually hear that I'm not doing it so great, so I get out of the darkness and get into light. I don't like being stuck with folk stuck in darkness. I don't like doing business with people who they only can see VHS tapes. It's a part of the challenge for me as a church leader. It's hard because I'm in a field where we have gone to streaming and my world is still stuck in VHS. So all of this seems, oh my God, you got all them lights and all them screens and all that smoke and all of that. Somebody sent me a text, you need to stop them smoke machines and you need to stop all them screens. And I just swipe, block, delete. I don't have time for anybody stuck. If you send me something dumb, stop, bye. The bishops that raised me, I can't believe you. What happened to what happened to the anointing of the black fight? That. Why would I take swimming lessons from drowning people? What makes you think I need your anyway? What I'm saying to you is, can we be called from darkness into light? Or are we so shook about what we think we know that can't nobody tell us nothing? It's absolutely possible for your feelings to be hurt by the truth. For anybody that's been misunderstood, anybody been misunderstood? Come on, we've all have been misunderstood. I'm extremely misunderstood, and I'm not necessarily going to explain myself because the misunderstanding, especially if you don't know the person closely, the misunderstanding is either, number one, you do something to be misunderstood. Number two, the person is projecting something from their experience on you that really has nothing to do with you. The number three thing is they're talking about them. They're telling you how they would be if they were in your spot. Or number four, you ain't misunderstood at all. And you just have to face the truth about you. The enlightened, changeable, open to wisdom, open to something new, not necessarily overly sold on your current worldview. That's who I like to be with. And then number seven, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not obtained mercy, but now you have obtained mercy. I like weeing with people that are favored. I like weeing with people who know they're not perfect. I don't know who I'm talking to. I like to wee with people who know if it wasn't for the mercy of God, if it wasn't for his grace on your life, who am I talking? If it wasn't for his mercy, if it wasn't for his grace, you'd be consumed. Those kind of people are okay when challenges happen. Those kinds of people are okay if you make a mistake. Because they can say, oh, do you know how many mistakes I've made? Do you know how much money I've lost? Do you know how many times I've missed it? But God in my life, but God can make a way. I have no requirement of perfection. I'm too imperfect to require perfection from anybody. I'm too imperfect to require perfection from anyone that's around me. And you're too imperfect to require perfection from anybody around you. Why would anything be perfect considering how imperfect you are? This ain't no perfect church. If it was, the minute you joined it, it would be imperfect. So I like weeing. I suggest weeing with somebody that understands the mercy of God, because if I forgive, I'm forgiven. So I gotta forgive so that I can be forgiven. I gotta be merciful because I've obtained mercy. So that if something bad happens, then it's all good. So we go into business together. Let me just apply all seven of them and I'll be done. We go into business together, okay? I'm like, okay, who am I going to go into this business partnership with? I want somebody who they're chosen. Clearly they make good choices. Clearly I've chosen them in my maturity. Clearly there's something about them that shows that they're smart. I want chosen generation. I want royalty. I want people who are going to do the best they can. I'm not doing business with anybody who's half-stepping. I want folk who are clean and classy, but will do anything to make us be successful. I want people holy, meaning I want people set apart. I want to do something with someone who is so dedicated to our goal that nothing will stop them. Are you hearing what I'm applying it? I want people who are peculiar, meaning that if the way we're doing it doesn't work, they can say, well, but I got a whole different idea. You know what I was thinking the other day, and I got a different idea for how we can do this, and why don't we do it in a different way, and why don't we be peculiar in our way of doing it, who can show forth praises, who can then say, hey, can we give it up to Bob, who brought in that new client, that Bob, good job. We can praise God, but we can also give honor where honor is due, because we all have, I want to do business with somebody who, if they come and say, you know what, this isn't working, I'm not so dedicated to the wrong that I can't be enlightened and do it right. And then if I make a mistake, they're like, it's all right. You made a mistake. I made a mistake. We make mistakes, but we're all going to be good. I can give mercy to you and you give mercy to me. I need you. You need me, because that's what is required to be successful. Who we with, vital to our ability to be successful. Vital to our ability to walk according to what God has called us to do. If you find yourself struggling with getting to where God wants you to be, maybe, just maybe, you have to learn. I have to learn to recompartmentalize my we's. And who I thought was supposed to be my best friend is really just somebody from when I was young and I know them and I love them, but just because they're from my foundation doesn't mean they're my covering. That I realize that's a part of what secured me deep in the sand, but when the shade happens, when the sun comes out, my umbrella above me is different than the little piece that holds it in the ground. It is a hard lesson. It is a hard lesson. It is a tough word. But it is a needed word for us to be everything that God is calling for us to be. If you heard a word from the Lord, put your hands together. Come on.
Thank you for tuning in today with World Overcomers. We hope our message has empowered you to embrace the balanced victory that God has designed for you. If you're ever in the Raleigh-Durham area, we would love for you to be our guest on Sundays at 10 a.m. Be sure to share this message with someone today, and be sure to follow us on all of our World Overcomers social media platforms. Until we meet again, stay blessed, and see you in the next episode.